Hello, and welcome to Seikahan. Today, Japan's population just crossed a 42-year line, and we'll sort out what part of the decline is already locked in, and what part is still a choice. We start with a number that took 42 years to arrive. On July 29th, Japan's Ministry of Internal Affairs published its annual count of residents, based on the National Resident Register. As of January 1st, the number of Japanese residents stood at 119.7 million. That is below 120 million for the first time since 1984. The one-year decline, 916,000 people, was the largest since records began. And at the same time, foreign residents passed 4 million for the first time ever. That Japan's population is shrinking is not news to anyone. So today we go one step further, with three questions. First, even if the birth rate improves, why won't the population come back? Second, where do the effects of decline actually arrive first? And third, where is the line between what is already fixed and what can still be chosen? Let's start with what the announcement actually said. A closer look at the numbers. Of Japan's 47 prefectures, exactly one gained Japanese residents. Tokyo. And not a single prefecture recorded more births than deaths. Meanwhile, foreign residents increased in all 47 prefectures. Japanese residents falling everywhere, foreign residents rising everywhere. That contrast is the skeleton of this year's report. One clarification. Before we go deeper. The line that was crossed counts Japanese residents only. Including foreign residents, the total is still 123.7 million. Japan's population statistics differ slightly depending on whether you count the resident register or estimate from the census. The government's official projection expects the total population, foreigners included, to cross below 120 million around 2031. So this year's milestone is the Japanese-only line, arriving 5 years ahead of the total one. Now, our first question. Why doesn't the decline stop? In 2025, Japanese births fell to 670,000, the lowest ever recorded. Deaths came to 1.59 million. The gap, 920,000 people, is the natural decline. And here is the thing. Virtually the entire decline is explained by this gap between births and deaths, not by emigration. It is now the 17th consecutive year of decline. Here is the single most important mechanism in this story. The fertility rate and the number of births are different things. The fertility rate estimates how many children one woman has over her lifetime. The number of births is that rate, multiplied by how many people are in the childbearing generation. And in Japan, that generation itself is already small because of low birth years decades ago. So even if the rate ticks up, the number of births does not recover for a long time. Think of a large ship. Cut the engine, and it still glides forward for a long while. Population works the same way. The small birth cohorts of the past keep pushing the numbers down for decades to come. Demographers call this inertia demographic momentum. In other words, the decline of the next few decades was largely decided in the past. Low fertility is not a Japanese peculiarity. Compare the major economies. Japan's rate is 1.14, a record low, down 10 years in a row. South Korea sits at 0.8, Singapore at 0.87. Japan's neighbors are even lower. The United States is at 1.6, France at 1.61, Germany at 1.36. Keeping a population stable long-term takes about 2.07, and every country on this list is far below it. One notable countercurrent, South Korea's rate has now risen for two consecutive years. So a floor is possible. A rebound to replacement is another matter entirely. Now, how Reddit reacted. The thread on r/worldnews drew over 2,700 comments. The loudest note was sarcasm about Japanese work culture. The company will let you leave early one symbolic day a month. And by early, they mean the time you were supposed to leave anyway, that kind of routine. But the more interesting note was the pushback. Common misconception. One commenter wrote, "Average working hours in Japan are now shorter than in America." It was true 30 years ago, so everyone just keeps repeating what they heard back then. The gap between the old image and the current reality got real traction in the thread. The second axis of debate, how should we even read this decline? One camp argued, the population explosion of the last century was the real outlier. This looks less like collapse and more like a correction. And the counter came quickly. A correction I could accept, but this is not stabilizing, it is plummeting. The problem is the speed. And meanwhile, the elderly are living longer than ever, so the hands needed to support them keep growing. That reframing, not whether the population shrinks, but how fast and who carries the load, is where the sharper half of the thread landed. And then, immigration. Many commenters attack the direction of current policy, a shrinking country that is simultaneously raising the cost and the waiting years for permanent residency. Others push back on immigration itself. It only postpones the problem by 60 years, one wrote. Global fertility is falling too. Eventually, finding people willing to move will itself get hard. To which came the reply, sometimes postponing is all you can do. You don't throw away a bridge just because it doesn't span forever. The thread leaned critical of the government, but it was not a debate that split into simple yes and no. Now the analysis. Question 2, where do the effects arrive first? Nationally, the total population fell by 0.45%. Even Japanese only, it is under 1% a year. On paper, that is slow. But remember, the only prefecture that gained Japanese residents was Tokyo. Which means the national average is a number propped up by concentration in the capital. In most of the country, the decline runs much faster than the average suggests. And what hits its limit first, locally, is infrastructure. Water and transit share a cruel structure. The fewer the users, the heavier the burden on everyone who remains. A finance ministry-affiliated institute found that 99% of Japan's water utilities cannot fund the renewal of their aging pipes from the rates they charge. Covering the gap would take an average rate hike of 83%. Bus routes. Roughly 23,000 kilometers were abolished over 16 years. And one analysis flags 744 municipalities, nearly half the country, as at risk of eventually vanishing, because their population of young women is set to halve by 2050. The national average and the local reality are two different speeds. That gap is why the statistics feel slower than life does. Next, the immigration question, sorted rather than settled. 4 million foreign residents is 3.26% of the population. By rich country standards, where the average foreign-born share runs around 15%, Japan remains a country with very few immigrants. But the speed of change is another story. Up 350,000 in a single year, nearly 10% growth. The case for opening up is real. Entire sectors already depend on foreign workers, and a sudden cutoff would hit local industries hard. The case for caution is also real. Expand the numbers without language education, housing, and school capacity, and the costs pile up on the workers themselves and on the towns where they concentrate. Which is why this is the kind of question where the scale of acceptance and the design of the support system have to be decided together, not separately. So what about the charge that Japan's government simply failed? The article's view is that two very different complaints are being mixed into one. The first, the government failed to reverse the birth decline. But here, the wall is global. No developed country has managed a quick rebound in births. South Korea, by one tally, poured roughly 380 trillion won into birth-related policies over 16 years, and its rate still fell into the 0.7s. The second complaint. The government was slow to prepare for a decline that was predicted decades in advance. And that one can be judged directly: water consolidation, transit redesign, regional cooperation, pension design. The pace of preparation is measurable. Failing to reverse births and being slow to prepare. Two separate verdicts, not one. Finally, the new variable in this equation, AI and automation. AI reduces the demand for labor itself, starting with office work. So it can partially offset the shrinking workforce. But the physical jobs, elder care, construction, logistics, are exactly where substitution lags. And AI does not replace taxpayers, premium payers, or the riders a bus line needs to exist. Jobs that technology can absorb, and infrastructure whose existence depends on user counts, those remain two different problems. Time to wrap up. The population decline of the coming decades is largely locked in by the shrunken size of the generations who would be having children. No election result changes that part quickly. But how the country lives with fewer people, water, transit, immigration design, the pension balance, that part is still being decided. And here is the key. Raising births and designing a country that works with fewer people are not alternatives. Whether a government can do both at once, that, we would argue, is the real test to watch. Next time you see a population headline, try splitting it. Is this about the part that is already fixed, or the part that can still be chosen? And look past the national average. The local numbers are where the story actually lives. The data and the original article are linked in the description. If this video was useful, a like and a subscribe help the channel a great deal. Thank you for watching.